Well, good morning and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. Happy Friday. Hope everybody's had a good week. This past Sunday, we were in John chapter 8, continuing with our I Am series, looking at this statement, second I Am statement that Jesus makes, where he says, I am the light of the world. And the context for that statement is really important. It comes at the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles was a 7 to 8 day giant festival, giant party where thousands of people would come to Jerusalem, and particularly in one of the courtyards of the temple, each night of the festival, they would light four huge candles. These four massive candles that ancient texts tell us really filled Jerusalem with light, filled the temple in Jerusalem with light. Really, apparently, was a pretty spectacular thing to behold. And it's important to know that because it's in that context. In the night, you have these candles lit, and it's these crazy bright lights, and they were commemorating how in the Old Testament, during the Exodus experience, God led the people of Israel through the wilderness, through the desert, in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So they were commemorating that light, that pillar of fire that God used to lead them, right? That God's presence led them through the darkness. They would follow that light. And then Jesus stands up and says, behold, right, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So it helps you understand kind of the context of that statement, the impact that would have had. It's a very clear reference. And the people, I think, know it. Jesus is claiming, right, that same God who led you by the pillar of fire, right, in the wilderness, I am God. I am the Son of God. Jesus has been making these claims that I and the Father are one, that the Father has sent me. And so the Jewish leaders know that's what Jesus is claiming. But man, they are angry. This statement, I am the light of the world, comes at the end of really a discussion that's been going on between the Jewish leaders and Jesus for some time now, where they're furious with him, the claims that he's making about his divinity, about being really the Messiah, about being the savior of the world that God sent him to save. I mean, they do not like it. They don't believe Jesus. And actually, what's really interesting in John chapter 8 is the response that they have back to Jesus. They're trying to arrest him. They're trying to get him killed. They're trying to shut him up. As he says, I am the light of the world, and anyone who will follow me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Their response back to him is they start questioning him. They say, hey, what you're saying is not true because you don't have a second witness. They start questioning him on a part of the Old Testament law that says you have to have two witnesses or you can't really establish your testimony. So they tell Jesus, hey, since you're the only one claiming this about yourself, well, then what you're saying is not true. And Jesus brilliantly kind of responds back to them and points out that, look, first off, because I'm God, I'm the one who set, right, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, set this law up for sinful human beings who sometimes lie, and Jesus never lies. And also Jesus says, look, the Father sent me, so the Father also testifies for me, so there's your two. He doesn't even mention the fact that John the Baptist, when he started his public ministry, also said, hey, here's Jesus, behold the Lamb of God. And so Jesus does have other people testifying for him, namely John. But the point really is this. The Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, even in the face of all the evidence, they've seen Jesus do miraculous things. They have heard him teach in incredible ways. Many of the people are turning toward Jesus, are believing in Jesus, and the Jewish leaders just refuse. They refuse to even consider Jesus' claims. One of their members, Nicodemus, seems to be considering what Jesus is saying, and they get, to be honest, angry with Nicodemus. In chapter 7, when Nicodemus kind of tries to defend Jesus, they shut him down almost immediately. And it caused one pastor I was reading who was just talking about this this passage said, look, the sin of unbelief, which is really what the Pharisees, the religious leaders, what they have is the sin of unbelief. He says the sin of unbelief never has enough evidence. The sin of unbelief never has enough evidence. And he went on to say this statement, which I thought was great. He said they weren't unbelievers because of ignorance. They were ignorant because of unbelief. That is, they didn't believe in Jesus because they hadn't seen anything that Jesus done, or they didn't know what Jesus was claiming, or they hadn't seen his miracles, or hadn't heard his teaching. No, they had seen all of that. They were ignorant. That is, they didn't know God truly because of unbelief, because of a stubborn refusal that said, man, we just are not going to believe in God's Son. And Jesus says that's because you don't really know the Father. They don't really want to know God or do his will. They want their own will. They want their own way. They like their system. And Jesus is disrupting that system and saying, hey, you don't need a system. You need a savior. And they're not okay with that. And so as I've been thinking about this kind of sin of unbelief concept, I just wanted to say, I think for some of us, maybe we see our own story, and that was us before we became believers. It was, man, the evidence was all around me. You know, I knew who Jesus was and I knew what he claimed, but I just wouldn't lay down my pride and put my faith in Jesus Christ. I found any excuse I could. I always needed another proof. And at some point in time, God sovereignly just opened your eyes and you turned from your sin and confessed your faith in Christ. But I wanted to give us space this morning as we think about, maybe that's your story. Maybe think about the people in your life who are still in that place where you look at them and think, man, it just seems like God's activity is all around them and they don't seem to see it. Where they have the evidence, they know the story, they've heard the gospel, but for whatever reason, they just won't turn and trust Jesus. And I just want to give us an opportunity right now to just pray for those people, to ask the Lord, Lord, will you open their eyes and will you bring them into relationship with yourself that they might turn, confess their sin, and find life in Christ? Let's take some time to pray for those folks right now. Well, thanks so much for joining us this morning on the LifePoint Drivecast. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you back on Monday.